John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, and that song goes right along with my message tonight, and we want to share a message entitled, He is Greater, in 1 John chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. And Lord, we certainly appreciate the opportunities to sing praises to your name. And God, we're thankful for the word of God. It's so precious to us. And Lord, it encourages us. It challenges us, Lord. It convicts us, it reproves us, it builds us, it strengthens us. God, we're so thankful for the word of God tonight. I pray that you'd help us to understand how strong we can be in standing in Christ Jesus. May we never forget that he is greater than and better than anything. And Lord, that whatever problem or whatever difficulty, whatever remedy we need, Jesus is the answer. And so, God, I pray that you bless the preaching of the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 4 is our text verse. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Very easily, we see John giving a warning in reference to the spirit of Antichrist that was in the world. Certainly, it was present in the early church, and the early believers had to deal with this spirit that was denying the reality that Jesus, the Son of God, came in the flesh. And John tells them very clearly that we need to try the spirits. We don't accept something that somebody's saying just because they say we're Christian. And we evaluate it, we study it out, and we try the spirit whether it be of God or not. You know, the Bereans in the book of Acts were like that. They didn't just receive the preaching of the Apostle Paul, but rather they searched the scriptures daily to see what he was teaching, whether it was right or not. And I'm never offended by somebody who says, well, I'm going to study that out when I preach. And because of the fact we need to be students of the Word of God, and God is his Bible, the Word of God is the final authority in everything. And so we need to be able to try the spirits in the days in which we live by what God has so stated. And so then he goes on and reminds them that, wait a minute, you need to realize because you are the children of God, you have overcome these spirits of Antichrist. You have overcome this false doctrine that is permeating the church and the world in which we live. And he wants to challenge them and remind them that, wait a minute, you have overcome them not because of who you are, but because who Christ is. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the world is getting rough. It's getting wicked. It is being aggressive. But Christians do not have to be fearful to live in a world that we live in, because Christ is still on the throne. He's still in control. He's still all powerful, and he still can work even in our day. I read a quote, and one preacher was talking to another preacher, and the preacher asked the preacher, he said, how's it going in ministry other than depressing? And I thought, good night. That's depressing reading that quote. Amen. And I think sometimes we get so consumed with the problems, difficulties, the opposition, if you will, we focus on that more than we do focusing on Jesus Christ. He still is greater than all the obstacles and difficulties you may have to face in life. Day by day, we have to be reminded that God is our greatest resource. What's going to get me through today is the presence of God in my life. The things I have to deal with tomorrow, it is God who walks with me. And because he is with me, he is my source of strength to deal with whatever the difficulties may be And the reality is that he is greater and bigger and stronger than anything that you're ever going to face in your life. And so he is greater. Years ago, Lester Roloff was asked about his many court dates and battles that he had. And the question was just simply if the lawyers and judges offended him. And Lester Roloff's response was, "You cannot offend a dead man." And, you know, Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ." And I think many times we walk around with our feelings on our sleeve, so to speak, and we get offended over everything. America is an offended country. I mean, I don't care what it is. Whatever you say, whatever you do, somebody's offended by it. And listen, Psalm 119, 165, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And why? Because we are dead in Christ. Our lives are not our own. We trust the Lord, and because they hated Christ, we know they're going to hate us. And so how in the world can we be offended all the time when we understand that Christ is greater than those offenses? He's greater than those oppositions. And so John just reminds us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now let's look at a few things tonight. And notice, he is greater than your limitations. And you do not have the ability to accomplish everything that you want to do. And God is the one we depend upon to help us in our limitations. Intellectually, some of us need help, amen? And I stand in need tonight intellectually. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so it is God who helps me with my ability to comprehend and understand. When I study the word of God, then certainly God will reveal to me his will and his way and how I need to approach things. We need to grow intellectually. But listen, our intellect does not capture our heart to move it away from God. And the more we study the word of God, we're gaining knowledge and we're gaining information, but it's keeping our heart right with God at the same time. And so he is greater when it comes to intellectual things and academic achievements or whatever they may be. They have to be tempered by and guided by what God has said. Because just to kind of live your life to try to be intellectual, you're not always going to have the answers for every question that comes up. And it becomes a source of discouragement to you. And so we're limited on how much we can understand and how much we can comprehend. So I'm going to need to study the word of God so God can help me to be able to comprehend who he is, since he is my source of strength. But physically, you know, we have physical limitations. And, you know, the things I used to be able to do when I was younger, I can't do anymore. Amen. So I always liked playing basketball, but the last time I played basketball, I liked to have a heart attack running up and down the field, the court. I remember we were playing out at Keswick out there, and we were playing in church and things or whatever. My wife's laughing at me. I can't believe it. I have to rough this woman up when I get home. I remember I was running home down that court, and I was like, "This is ridiculous. I'm going to wait for them. They're coming back." And I just stayed down under the basketball court. But I can remember when I was younger, man, you'd run up and down that court and wouldn't have any problem at all. And I find there's limitations, amen? And we have to deal with these physical limitations many times in our life. And it is God who helps us to overcome those limitations in our life. I was talking to my brother just several years ago, and he had gone to Africa on a missions trip. And he said one of the things that he was so stirred about was there was a man on crutches, and he was going from house to house. He was going down the street and just standing out on the street in front of the houses that he would go by and was praying for the people in the houses to get saved. Now listen, he had some limitations because he could not walk very easily. He had to be on crutches, but what he could do, God could strengthen him to stand outside of somebody's house and pray that they might get saved. Now, sometimes what we do is we allow the limitations that develop in our life, physical limitations that develop, to hinder us from doing something for God, because we forget that, wait a minute, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. This body has to live in this real world in which I live, and this body is always developing limitations physically, but wait a minute, my God can give me the strength to get up and move and get going each day, and if it's nothing else but lay in the bed because my body cannot move and pray, I can still pray, amen? And so God is greater than our limitations. Don't let the limitations of intelligence or physical conditions to hinder you from doing something for God. Then I thought about personal limitations. You know, I felt called to preach. I just really had to deal with that whole issue because I did not enjoy reading. I really don't just like, I don't enjoy reading now. I don't read for enjoyment. I read to learn. I read theology books or whatever. The only thing I read most of the time is the Fisherman magazine. And that's because it has pictures of boats in it. Amen? But personal things, God laid it on my heart to preach. And I'm like, I don't like reading and I don't like studying. And I do not like standing up in front of people and speaking. I remember one fellow, he left the church because he got mad because I made that statement. He said I lied in the pulpit. This was years ago. And this is the reason why he said I lied in the pulpit. He said I lied in the pulpit because you said you were in the Marine Corps and you had to stand before men and lead them, and you're saying you don't like standing up before people. There is a difference between standing up and preaching what the Word of God has to say and standing in front of troops that have to obey what you say and you tell them what to do. There is a difference, folks. And I had to argue with God about my personal limitations I felt that I had and the feeling that I could not be used of God. But the reality is this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And God can overcome your personal problems. Amen. And oftentimes what we do is we allow those personal problems to rob us of being that person that God can use in spite of those limitations. So God is greater than your limitations. God is greater than your failures. And every one of us has failed at something. I don't care what it is. You have failed. Oftentimes there's a failure to seize opportunities to be able to glorify the Lord. 2017 is gone. It's over. You can't do anything in 2017. Of every opportunity that was afforded you in 2017 is gone. We're in a new year. Peter missed opportunities to witness when Jesus was being interrogated. But listen, when he repented, when he was broken before God, God would use Peter to be the mighty preacher that would stand up on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls would be saved. See, what we do is we look at our failures rather than being like Peter, who went out and wept bitterly and repented of his spirit that he had in rejecting the Savior and being forgiven and being strengthened and being empowered and standing up and going on for God, we allow our failures to stop us from moving ahead. And I'll tell you, I've made so many mistakes in my life. I've failed in so many different ways. Listen, every one of those failures in your life is a stopping point if you don't allow God to work in you in spite of those failures. Seize the opportunities that God has given you. 2018 is a brand new year, and God is still greater than your failures. And so we need to seize the opportunities to bring glory to God. We need to, oftentimes, we are failed because we harbor wrong thoughts. And sometimes we just need to allow the Lord to purify our thought process. We need to allow the Lord to strengthen out our thinking. Sometimes what we do is it's interesting. They say that most preachers leave their church with less than 10 people in the church mad at them. And it's because they start thinking in their mind, nobody cares for them, nobody loves them, nobody's listening to them, and you start having that pity party, and next thing you know, you're going somewhere else. When in all reality, it's just a few people that might be mad at you. And I found this, after being in ministry for so many years, there's always somebody mad at you. So don't worry about who's mad at you. You say, well, I don't want to harbor wrong thoughts. Then get your thoughts under the blood of Christ and start thinking properly. And Psalm 10 and 4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. And there's the problem. If Christ is greater than anything you have to face and deal with, then why do we allow our thought process to consume us and not be focused on God? We think about everything else. Why don't we think about the Lord? You say, well, so-and-so's talking about me. I know they're talking about me. Stop worrying about them talking about you and start thinking about God who is blessing you. Amen? Psalm 51 in verse 10 says, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We need God to do something miraculous in our life and getting our hearts focused back on him. God is still the God who saved you and created you, and God is still the one who can bless you in spite of whatever it is you failed at, whatever it is you're going through. Don't harbor wrong thoughts. In Psalm 139 in verse 23, tells us, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I've got to let God capture my thought process. Otherwise, I will talk myself into continual failure. I've got to let God show me that he's greater than my failures, and God is the one who will strengthen me, enable me to try something else or do something else for his glory, rather than dwelling on all the ways that I've failed the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. There is nothing worse than for a believer to get dissatisfied or feel they're a failure or feel they've come short on something and say, well, I'm just not going to do ministry anymore. You know why? Because you stop doing the work of God, and then all of a sudden your thought process gets warped, because your thoughts need to be established on who God is and what God is doing in your life at that very moment. Why? Because that's how he is greater than our failures. He gets our thought process back in the place where it needs to be. Oftentimes we fail to seize our opportunities. Oftentimes we fail because of harboring wrong thoughts. But also many times we fail because we don't grow intentionally. Growth needs to be intentional. I mean, that means there are priorities and there are decisions that are made or followed so that God can start moving on your behalf and blessing you so that you can overcome the failures. And so here's a couple of things. How can we do it? Five things. Admit your need. If God is going to work in your life, if God's greater than your failures, then admit the fact that you need God to do something. What does that mean? It just simply means to be humble. Stop walking around being prideful and say, well, bless God, I'm going to do better and I can do it myself and I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. No, you're not. Admit you need God in your life. And when you need God, you'll be humbled before him. And God is the one who will lift you up and keep going. You know, a righteous man will fall seven times, but he'll rise up again. And it's not because his ability, it's because of his God who works on his behalf. He is greater than your failures. There's some things I've tried here at the church over the last 20-some years, and I'll tell you, some of them are real flops. And I've had some people get real mad at me. Oh, amen. But that's all right. What did I do? Say, oh, well, poor me. No, get up and get going again. Admit you need God to do something. Admit you need God to tell you how to do it. Admit that you need God to start entering into this thing. And if you'll do that, you'll be humbled. So you'll grow intentionally if you admit your need. Not only that, but rely on the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Sometimes we think, and I've done this over the years, I think, well, things just aren't really happening at church. You know, I think I'll go to a seminar. And I'll go to a seminar. And then what they teach at the seminar, bring it back and I'll try to put it in the church, and it doesn't work in New Jersey. And it might work down south, and it might work out west, but when you hit New Jersey, we got a different animal to deal with. Amen? It is amazing what works in different churches and absolutely will not work here in New Jersey. But so what's the problem? We need to get back to relying on the Lord. That just simply means be dependent. Be dependent upon God. You are going to fail, so rest in the Lord. Get wisdom, get instruction, try to comprehend how God wants you to live your life, make the decisions, set the priorities so that you might be able to move ahead and intentionally grow in the Lord, but make sure it's in the Lord and not in yourself and not in other organizations. Commit to growth. And so you need to be committed to this thing of growing. That means you need to be studious. And certainly you're not going to be able to comprehend God's abilities and what God's will is if you're not a student of the Word of God. You have to be committed to growth. I have to decide that I'm going to grow. You know, the athlete, whatever the sports they're involved in, I'm going to tell you right now, they have to make a conscious decision to study and learn all about that sport. They have to make a conscious decision. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to eat a certain diet. I'm going to exercise in a certain way so as to develop my skills and my talents and my abilities and my strengths so that I can become better and better in the sport that I want to play. Well, Christian, we need to be committed to growth. You need to be striving to grow closer to God and allowing the Lord to help you understand who He is and what He wants to accomplish in your life. Then you need to evaluate your progress. And when you talk about evaluating your progress, it means you just simply need to be honest with yourself. You always get tickled. You ask people, hey, how's things going? It's amazing. Everything's wonderful. Everything's fine. But yet everybody's got all these problems. You say, how you doing? Fine. I feel like saying, no, really, I want you to be honest. How are you really doing? And we really aren't honest about that. The sad thing is, I understand that we don't want to fall into the trap. We feel like we're griping or complaining or whatever. But don't do that with yourself. If you're struggling spiritually, acknowledge it. If you're struggling in your walk with God, then talk to God about it. Be honest with yourself about who you are, where you are, and where your failures are, and what needs to be corrected. The reason is this: if you won't honestly evaluate your progress as a Christian, you'll never do anything to change what it is, and you'll continue to fail. And God is greater than your failure, so be honest with yourself and commit your life to the Lord so that He can be working on your behalf. And the last thought is this: make yourself accountable. And if you want to overcome failures in your life, you need to make yourself accountable to God, and you need to make yourself accountable to someone else. What does that mean? Just be transparent. And make yourself accountable to someone. You know, the Bible's true, iron sharpeneth iron. If that's true, then I need someone to come alongside of me and strengthen me, challenge me, reprove me if it's necessary, teach me if it's necessary, whatever. Why? Because I don't want to continue failing. And the reality is this: if I fail, then I'm going to continue to fail if I just keep doing the same things over and over again. So I need to find a different course, a different direction, a different way to allow God to enter into my life. And I want to be accountable to Him, and I want to be transparent about who He is and who I am. And that may require me to be involved with someone else whom I can be honest with and transparent about my life, my feelings, my emotions, my successes, my failures. But ultimately, wherever I'm at, I know this: greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. God is still on my side. You understand that? God is not fighting against you. God is not sitting in heaven, ooh, I wonder what I can give them to knock them down this day. No. God did not create us and save us and bless us to fail us. God saved us, He created us, He loves us, and He desires for us to succeed for His glory. And so, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He is greater than your limitations. He is greater than your failures. He's also greater than your fears. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, he's greater than your fears. It says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I was thinking this afternoon, I was on my way home after church and listening to the news, and they were talking about this scare in Hawaii about these nuclear weapons and everything, and how fearful everybody was. And I was thinking, if I was there, what would I have done? Would I run to hide underneath of a rock? Would I left my car sitting on the freeway? I don't know. I don't know what I would do. And I thought about how fear grips us, and it makes us do strange things. And I thought about the Christian life. Wait a minute. So many times we live our Christian life being gripped constantly with fear of what tomorrow holds. And listen, if God is with us, he's in control of our life right now, and he's in control tomorrow. So I don't need to fear your fear of ministry growth. Oftentimes people get overwhelmed with the opportunity to do ministry. You say, we need Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, whatever. And people say, "Oh, I could never do that." How do you know that? Why don't you just try it? Well, you know, I could never go soul winning. Yes, you could. You talk to people every day. And that's all soul winning is talking to somebody, but you're talking to them about Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of ministry growth. Oftentimes, people get upset and get concerned about if the church is growing too fast. And then all of a sudden, people get upset if the church is growing too slow. And I mean, we get upset and fearful about all kinds of things. Wait a minute. God has overcome these things. He's overcome my fears of ministry. He's overcome my fear of loneliness. He is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And even though you might feel you're all by yourself and you might be afraid of being by yourself, I want you to know right now that you are never alone. And so I don't have to be overrun and distraught with fear because God is with us. I remember we were in Bible college. We got robbed when we were in Bible college. I was going to school all day. I was working at night. And my wife would have to be home by herself. And I'll tell you, it was a difficult thing because the people who robbed us walked past our house every day. And we knew where they came from. We knew who they were. And the police would not do anything about it whatsoever. Nothing. And my wife was scared to death. And she said, "We need to move." And I said, "We don't have the money to move. We don't have any extra money here to be able to put up security deposits and all this, that, and the other." And I said, "God will take care of us." And she had to learn how to deal with this matter of fear being alone in a house that was robbed. I'll tell you, you get robbed, you're violated. And you feel your security is gone. But I'm going to tell you, where you find your security is the fact that God has promised he will never leave you. And he is greater than the fears that you have. We need to turn to him and trust him and believe in him, and God will take care of your fears of growth, ministry, take care of your fears of loneliness, the fear for your family. Sometimes we get fearful for our family. Wait a minute, God can take care of your children. Oftentimes I've seen this over the years, people don't want their children to surrender to full-time ministry or don't want their children to go off to college because you're fearful for your children. And that's wonderful. We should fear for our children. We should pray for our children. But you should not hinder the opportunity for them to fulfill the will of God in their life. You don't have to be fearful about those things. You know, listen, the best place for us to be is to be in the center of God's will, whether it's being together or whether it's being separated and alone. And why? Because God is always with you and he is in you. Oftentimes people think that God can't take care of them. He's greater than your lack of supply. Your finances. We talked about finances this morning. Your finance. If you get your finances in order, you realize that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. God can take care of your needs financially. He can provide for you. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into thy bosom." And so God can take care of your finances. Don't be foolish with your money. Don't throw it away. If you don't have money to go out and eat, don't go out and eat. If you don't have money to buy a car and have payments, don't buy a car and have payments. Take care of your finances. Be a good steward of what God has given you, but don't be afraid of dealing with finances. God can provide for you. And I've just watched God do that miraculously. And then I thought about facilities. Oftentimes, we get worried about a lack of facilities. And I remember we put up the gym over there and we put up the Sunday school classrooms. At that time, we needed some extra space. And there was a lot of money and it was a lot of work that was involved. And sometimes we get overwhelmed with saying we don't have the finances, we don't have the facilities, we don't have the abilities. We get fearful of all these things, but we forget that God is the one who is our supply. I read this quote, greater facilities do not guarantee greater productivity. And just because we may be able to expand, I remember years ago this preacher down in South Jersey said that his church was stagnant. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put up a gym. And if I put up a gym, then the people have to give to it. And that'll motivate them to get involved in ministry. And I thought, man, you're putting the cart before the horse. You don't motivate people by saying we need facilities, so give more money so that we... No. What's wrong with you? We're looking at it and say there is a lack of supply. Wait a minute. God is greater than the needs that we have. He is also greater than your personal experiences. Your lacking of understanding. James 1:5 says, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. God can give you an understanding heart. I don't understand this situation in my life. Talk to God about it. I don't understand about how to take care of my finance. Talk to God about it. I don't understand why my family is antagonistic towards me because of the fact that I'm trying to lead them to Christ. Let God give you an understanding heart. Let God give you wisdom. Lacking confidence. Philippians 4:13, still in the Bible, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so God is greater than your personal experiences that get you down and defeat you. I like this quote. I'm starting to say it this morning in Sunday school, and here it is. I forgot where I put it, and it's in this message. Amen. It says this, if you can explain everything about church, ministry, and family, it's probably not of God. And I read that quote. I said, wow, I mean, that is true. If everything I'm doing, whether it's in my family or if it's in my life, personal life, or it's in the church or it's in our ministries or whatever it may be, and everything can be explained from a human perspective, where is God at in it? See, we have to live in the realm that God is greater than our personal experiences, and we need to have a confidence that God can enter into whatever it is that we're dealing with. Lacking strength for your burdens. 1 Peter 5:7, still in the Bible, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. And just really believing and understanding that God is greater than the burdens you have to deal with. God may not take you out of that burden, but I'll guarantee you one thing, God will be with you and strengthen you to get through that burden, casting all your cares on him. Well, God is greater than all of your plans. Don't worry, I have 600 points tonight. God is greater than all your plans. And I wanted to put that in there because, I don't know, I like planning for things. I like to have goals set. But God's greater than the plan. It's all right for God to get in and shake up your plans. It's all right for God to get in and change your plans. Personal growth. We often have it all mapped out in our mind how we're going to grow and how we're going to mature and how we're going to experience God. And yet God has a greater plan to work in your life. Personal growth or in practical ministry. We have idea, okay, we're going to do Sunday school this way, or we're going to do soul winning this way, and we lay out our plans. Well, what happens if God jumps in and God changes everything around? We have our church services. We always have these orders of service up here, and this is how our church is going. We're going to start singing this song. We're going to start. What if God just started coming into the service and changed everything? You know, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything at all. It gives us a human perspective of what our plans are. But you know what? God, it's all right if God wants to change it. Here's five dangers of elevating your plans ahead of God. Five dangers. Number one, your unmet expectations are seeds of ingratitude. We lay our plans and we say, this is how I think it ought to happen. We think this is how it ought to take place. And all of a sudden, the reality is it doesn't happen that way. What I have found is most things that I plan out do not work out exactly the way I planned them out. And what happens is when it doesn't come out the way I think it should come out, right away, I'm not thankful. I start developing a spirit of ingratitude. And that's the danger of elevating your plans ahead of God. Let God be the leader and not your plans. Not only that, but your unmet expectations are the potential for disappointment. I've said this over and over again since I've been in ministry because I've done this over and over again, not intentionally, but I have tried to help people to understand there will be a time in your life and as me as your pastor where I'm going to disappoint you. I don't want to do that. I strive and I try not to do anything that would be a disappointment. But the reality is, if we're just living our plan on everything revolves around the pastor, and the pastor is the one who's always right, and the pastor is the one who's always good, the pastor never does anything wrong, and I'll tell you, the pastor's got it all together, and all of a sudden, the pastor blows it. What happens? Disappointment overwhelms you. And I've watched people do that. They have these unexpected or unrealistic expectations, and it doesn't work out that way, and they're disappointed in life. They get disappointed with God. They get angry with God. They develop a spirit of ingratitude because their life isn't going the way they planned for their life to be. And so your unmet expectations are potentials for disappointment. Your unmet expectations are the possibility of disloyalty. Why? Because when you have a heart of ingratitude, that is flourishing and growing because of disappointments, then the next natural response is, I'm not going to continue my life for the Lord. I'm not going to, something happens in church and you're disappointed about it. Well, I'm not going to that church anymore. We just become disloyal about church. Many times in families, our unrealistic expectations take place, and the next thing you know, I'm not going to be married to this person anymore. Or our children have unrealistic expectations, or you have unrealistic expectations for your children, and they don't fulfill those expectations, and the next thing you know, there's division in the family. It's amazing how we allow these things to take place in our life because we have in our mind our life mapped out and planned out that this is the way we believe it's going to happen. I'll tell you, I left Bible college. I mean, they taught us in Bible college, bless God, you go out soul winning, you preach the word of God. I mean, you hold on to King James and you go out door to door soul winning. And I'll tell you, you'll start a church and you'll be able to plant a church and they'll be running thousands of people. You never leave that church. You stay that church. Well, you know what? That was my plan, but it didn't work that way. And I found I had to deal with unrealistic expectations, unmet expectations, because it was creating a heart in me that was becoming bitter and disappointed. And we need to come back to the realization that, wait a minute, it's not about what my expectations are, it's about how great is my God. Number four, your expectations should revolve around a true servant's heart. So if you allow pride to come in your life, you will be knocked off your feet real quick. But if you have a servant's heart, it doesn't matter whether you're disappointed. It doesn't matter whether you've developed a spirit of ingratitude. It doesn't matter about you have thoughts and contemplations of being disloyal. If you have a true servant's heart, you keep serving. You keep serving and you keep serving. So your expectations should revolve around a true servant's heart. It should revolve around your primary responsibilities. And your primary responsibility is to acknowledge that God is greater than your plans. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so don't fall into the trap of being overwhelmed because you have these plans, but God wants to change things. Don't elevate your plans above what God wants to do. And years ago, I learned this, and I told the Lord, I talked to God about this, and I just said, Lord, you're welcome to enter in anytime you want. You're welcome to change my plans anytime you want to change my plans. You're welcome to do whatever you want to do. My primary responsibility is to rest in that my God is greater than all these things that I'll face in my life. Then the last thought is this: He is greater than the enemy. I want you to know tonight that Satan hates this ministry. He does. He hates any church that stands on the gospel. He hates any church that's willing to try to get people saved. He fights against the church. And however, Satan is a defeated foe. We don't have to wait for him to be defeated. He already is defeated. And so don't live as if you can't win. Don't live as if you can't be successful. Don't live as if you can't lead someone to Christ. Don't live like you can't live your Christian life. No. God has already defeated Satan. He hates you because he hated Christ first. He is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of the church. He's the enemy of the believer. But wait a minute, he is an enemy who has lost. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so don't allow all these things that we have to deal with in life to knock us down. I know it's hard because there's many times where I felt knocked down. Many times I felt like the devil was knocking me out. But I'm going to tell you right now, when this happens, I turn back to the reality that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. He's still all-powerful. He is still the winner. He is still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. The devil can't stand against him. He's already a defeated foe. And if he's already a defeated foe, what can he do to me? And so I want to walk in the power of my God, and I want to be refreshed day by day that he is greater. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. No, he's greater. There's not one thing any person experiences, not one thing that'll happen in all of time in history that is greater than Jesus Christ. Amen. He is greater than everything. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're greater. Where would we be without Jesus Christ in our life? He is the remedy for all the problems and issues and difficulties we face in life. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. God, I pray that you continue to give us victory. You continue to give us power. Lord, you fill us with the joy of your presence, God. I pray that we'd see mighty things take place. And God, we acknowledge the fact that you're certainly welcome to enter into anything in our life, anything in our ministry, whatever it is you desire to do. God, we're willing to say, yes, Lord, you do it. And God, I just prayed you work in our hearts tonight. There may be someone here tonight who's really knocked down. They're really defeated, Lord. They're really struggling. Lord, will you strengthen them? Will you give them hope? We give them the assurance that you're still on their side. You're still fighting for them. They still have the victory. There may be someone here tonight who's not saved. God, will you touch them? They may come and receive Christ as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's